Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Hear that? That is the taste and sound of success. I've also got Coca-Cola all over my laptop. That's good, isn't it? Hello, how are you doing? Abroad Japan podcast. We're recording this on the day. We never record this on the day. We could talk about things that are happening in the world, like, right now.
What's happening in the world right now, though, apart from you and your Coke? Anything fun?
COVID, UK Christmas rules unlikely to change. TikTok. Gunpu signs richest deal in NBA history. How much is this guy going for? He has signed a deal for $170 million. $170.1 million or $228.2 million. The richest in NBA history. That's a lot of money, isn't it? 5 years. Five years. The MVP, 26. Wow.
It's times like this. I wish I was in the NBA and not in the world of YouTube. I felt very poor this week, to be honest, Pete. I just got back from Tokyo, and in Tokyo, I went and had a look around a $25,000 a month house, apartment, penthouse thing. And why do people have places like that? I live in a shoebox, which I don't mind. But you go around somewhere like that and you think, really, is this, why is this a thing?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I mean, I did watch it. And you know what? I don't think they're worth the cash, you know. I mean, I know the location is important. And this time around, I think you saw a house that you could buy. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you could buy it, but typically you rent it for 25 grand.
I think the situation is that when you actually go in these places, they're absolutely massive, obviously bigger than any, and the shoe closet is bigger than everywhere. I'm kind of maybe conflating your video with Charlotte, because I think Charlotte also went on a second romp around a big, massive building as well. And I very much enjoyed Charlotte getting a load of pelters for being unable to pet a dog properly. That was fun. So your friend was teaching Charlotte how to pet a dog properly. But Yeah, you tootling around the houses. They just look really big and really spacious. And because there's no like furnishings in, it just seems a little like rubbish. Functionality short. Like it's just an empty room, and there's no like, you know, the I said before on the last time you did one of these videos, like the air conditioning units are exactly the same as every other air conditioning unit I've used in Japan. They always look very, very similar. And so like the actual amenities, like the bath didn't look that deep. The bath didn't look that big for a 18 grand, 20 grand a month hot tub sort of experience. I'd be wanting a little more. And I don't know. I just think that there's no character to these places. They're quite minimalistic, I suppose, even if they are designed by celebrated architects.
I think if it was packed full of stuff, it might look better. But look, the reason I go around these places isn't to make everyone feel poor and depressed. A lot of the comments are like, why do you keep showing us these places, Chris? The reason I show them is because, I don't know, I want to make people feel better about themselves. And also, it's just a very easy video to make. That might have something to do with it as well. But like, I don't know, I go around it and I think, well, this is a lot of money. And the view is nice. There was a jacuzzi on the rooftop and that was kind of cool. But like, really, just think, I don't need this. And I wouldn't want to live in Shibuya anyway. I know you probably would, Mr. Shibuya himself.
Yeah.
You'd love it.
Mr. Basketballer Dory.
Mr. Basketball. But like, I don't know. It's weird. It's depressing. But go and check it out on Abroad in Japan if you haven't seen it yet, guys.
Yeah.
But I'm actually just back from Kyoto, where I've been for a week filming another video about another real estate kind of property that's much more interesting, I think. We went to some townhouses that have been like renovated, and that was a much more fulfilling endeavor than feeling like a peasant. But just being in Kyoto the last week has been quite a magical experience, because Kyoto, I often slate it on here because it's just so crowded. But when you take the crowds away, which you never thought was going to happen, like a year ago, you could never have imagined that. It's really quite bloody good. And I saw four foreigners in the 6 days I was there, of which three of them knew who I was, and I had to take photos, which was cool. But like nobody, like, it was just empty. It was amazing. And I think if you can get to Japan, like when they reopen the doors and whatnot next year sometime, hopefully around June, at the start, invariably, it's not going to be that busy, right? So try and get on the first flight and you can still enjoy Kyoto, I reckon, while it's relatively empty. So first flight, Pete, you've got to be on that British Airways flight. First class, sipping your Coke, make it happen.
Yeah, okay, right, I'll do it. I've sort of got to go, all right, when's it happening? Can you imagine the first flight in from everywhere world straight into Japan? It will be an absolute shit show. It may be quiet in Kyoto, but my God, it'll be horrible at the airport.
It certainly will. I also, on the train up from Kyoto, it's really because Japan's weather's weird. Like in Kyoto, blue skies, brilliant, magical. 30 minutes later, the bullet train was going through Shiga Prefecture. There's loads of mountains and it was like 2 meters of snow and it's like a blizzard. And then 10 minutes after that, it's sunny again because it's Nagoya and it's a blue sky. And it's just like, what's going on with this country? Why is it so weird with the weather? But I did go past the Sony headquarters and it was a bit bittersweet.
All right.
I want a PlayStation 5, but I just can't find one unless you pay some shady individual extortionate sums of money. Have you got hold of one yet?
I've not, no. I bought an Xbox, the little baby Xbox that looks like a little radio. I bought that for a friend, but I didn't pick one up myself. To be honest, I've been, because I upgraded my graphics card last year, I'm now a PC Master Race gamer, and I'm playing a bit of Cyberpunk. I mean, people have been talking about the old Cyberpunk and how fraught it is with technical glitches and all kinds of nonsense. I would posit that is probably the case. Yes, I've experienced a lot of weird stuff, just falling through the floor, things just dicking about. My favorite glitch, though, that has been publicized is sometimes in the character select screen, whether you're wearing clothes or not, you can see the character's penis, which is just, and it wiggles around. Very enjoyable indeed.
That is very Pete Donaldson humor right there. That's not a glitch. That's just the Pete Donaldson version.
I hacked it.
I mean, I've got Cyberpunk on PlayStation 4 waiting for me at my apartment. I don't know if I told you, but CD Projekt Red, some of the team watch Abroad in Japan, so they sent me like a collector's edition to play.
Why didn't you get it? Why were you not? Why were you not in the game? Because if they listen, why?
I'm not that good. Why are they not? I don't like me that much.
Why not? Bloody Elon Musk and Hideo Kojima, they all got in, I believe, in the game.
I don't think I'm quite on the same level as them yet, Pete.
And you look a little bit like Elon Musk. So we'll just pretend that the NPC that everyone is saying is Elon Musk, the boy of the internet boy, the rich boy of the internet. That's
the
actually
internet
you,
boy.
The internet I'll boy. Have that. I reckon it's you, Chris. I reckon they put you
I'll
in anywhere.
I love that. But that is why I want the PlayStation 5, because apparently it runs better on PlayStation 5 than PlayStation 4, where it's not at all playable. But I feel a bit bad for CD Projekt Red. Clearly, they flew a bit too close to the sun in terms of ambition. Like, the game looks incredible. The world's so rich, dense, and detailed. But clearly, to do something of that scale, it just can't possibly run on something like a PlayStation 4. It needs a powerful computer. And I think they probably needed another 6 months by the sounds of things to finish the game. But there was a lot of pressure this year, postponing it over and over. And I imagine COVID meant they couldn't work together as a team. I don't know. I don't want to defend them too much, but I feel sorry for them. And I think
it sounds very much like they concentrated on the PC and next gen versions of it, or rather what it looked like on a piece on an Xbox Pro and a PS4 Pro. I forget what the Xbox Pro version is called, but is it Xbox One X? I can't remember. But whatever the current gen or last gen premium versions of that console is. So if you've got a PS4 Pro, I reckon it'll still look pretty good, Chris. So you might be all right.
Oh, really? I'll have to try and get hold of one, because I ain't getting a PlayStation 5. It's quite annoying, though. I was about 100 metres from Sony's global headquarters on the bullet train. I just thought, could I just go in and just ask someone? Would they give me a PlayStation 5? The answer would, of course,
make a video about it. Make a video about it, mate.
What could I possibly do?
Just you standing outside Sony demanding a PS5.
Give it to me. But on the subject of Kyoto, this week's story of the week kicks off with a rather unpleasant tale from Kyoto. I read some of this and I thought, is this too crude to go on the Abroad Japan podcast? The answer was yes, but I'm going to read it out anyway.
Bearing in mind, Chris sent me an email about a man who had gone to China and had this delicious meal, this kind of delicacy, where they put the meat back inside one of the stomachs of the cow that has half digested grass in it. And so it tastes absolutely awful, or certainly very interesting anyway. And Chris said that was too much for the podcast. But this isn't too much, is it? Right, okay.
In hindsight, this is possibly worse, but it begins. Hi, Chris and Pete. As a bona fide Japanophile myself, gradually working through the Abroad Japan back catalogue whilst confined to the UK over the last few months has offered me some much needed escapism. I've been lucky enough to visit Japan 3 times in the last few years, and each time has produced truly amazing experiences, but this one has to be the most embarrassing. I was travelling in Kyoto for work, and as you can imagine, truly maximising the expense account. Acquainting myself with only the finest izakaya pubs and karaoke bars in my downtime. Anyway, skip to Saturday morning, and I wake up to my hotel room door being hammered by a colleague after what I can only imagine was less than 2 hours sleep, with an absolute thunder bastard of a hangover. I like that word, thunder bastard. I was very, very late for my train. Our colleagues had very kindly offered to guide us around the city for the day, so I pulled on last night's clothes, splashed on some aftershave, and headed out. Hoping for the best, I got to the train station clutching a bottle of Pocari Sweat, and my worst nightmare was realised. The station was packed. It was just a sea of hurried Japanese people heading out early on a Saturday morning. We found our train and tried to squeeze on. We got on, and I'm not tall by Western standards at about 6 foot, and I stood significantly above the other riders that day, and that only exacerbates the horror about to befall the carriage. God, as soon as the doors closed, I knew there was a situation to handle. I was starting to sweat and I could feel the blood draining towards my feet. I was going to be sick. Using fighter pilot level clenching and self-control, I made it to the first stop, and the cool air from the station was some respite. But the fact that literally no one got off the train and what looked like an entire baseball squad got on sealed the deal. The doors closed and the train set off. And that was it. My train was literally leaving the station. I threw up hard. Now, I don't know who designed the surgical mask, but they're constructed in such a way to provide perfect vomit blowback. Odd. So a stream covered my feet and those of the passengers in front of me. Oh, Christ. But two, what can only be described as jets, splattered those behind me in a horrific shower of last night's sake and kirin. I escaped the destruction left behind at the next stop and hastily returned to my hotel, went back to bed and waited for the embarrassment to die down. Needless to say, I probably owe a few local Kyoto travellers an apology and a shoe shine. Anyway, keep up the work, and I wonder if you've had any ultra embarrassing Japanese public transport stories. All the best, Tom from the UK. Of course he's from the UK. The guy who was sick over 20 Japanese people on a train. What do you make of that? That is messed up.
It's a little strong, isn't it? It's a little bit strong. Big old puke party. Never mind.
Thank God he had the mask.
Whenever I drink heavily like that, there is no way I'm leaving a property after 2 hours sleep. I'm going to get at least four, at least five, and I'm going to pay a ridiculous amount of money for a late checkout. So I'll be going into like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If I am after a night out, if I'm anywhere inconvenienced that I've got to get up at like 10 a.m., it's just not happening. I'd rather not drink, to be quite frank. And I'm a man who will drink it at the drop of anyone's hat. But no, in this situation, I would not have been getting drunk. If there was any chance that I was only going to get 2 hours sleep and I was going to get my colleague sort of waking me up. Actually, speaking of izakayas, by the way, I watch a TV show called The Property Brothers, Buying and Selling. It's a home kind of home kind of like redo, doing up show sort of thing where they do someone's house up. They are two brothers who are obsessed with the idea of a splashback, obsessed. A splashback behind your sink. Apparently, that's an important thing in America. There's not a single half an hour show that goes by or hour long show that goes by without the Property Brothers talking about or installing a brand new splashback. It's incredibly important to Americans. I've no idea why. Maybe some Americans can get in touch why splashbacks are so important, why the wall behind your sink has to be protected at all costs. I don't know. But they had a woman on a couple of days ago with her partner, and I swear, no one ever lied. Her name was Izakaya. Wonderful.
What?
Izakaya. Yeah, her name was Izakaya. It was amazing.
That's a great name.
It was fantastic. I am in.
Count me in. Izakaya.
Yeah, fantastic. Izakaya. Wonderful.
I've lived here 8 years, and I don't think I've ever met anybody called Izakaya. But if I was going to have a son, that is exactly what they would be called. Izakaya Broad.
I'm having it.
What? Going back to this Tom being sick all over the train story, what I don't understand is why didn't he get off at the first station when there was like a nice breeze? Why didn't you think, oh dear?
Yeah. I don't know. You'd make silly mistakes. You think you're gonna be fine. I've seen a few people sort of do a vom and then instead of getting off, the doors are just closing and you're like, oh no, I've had a stinker here, haven't I? I've had an absolute stinker. But like, I'd like to think that anyone who's been through Shibuya of 1 o'clock in the morning would understand that it's not. This isn't an English, you know, lads abroad kind of Brits abroad kind of experience, because people are sick constantly. People are passed out on the street constantly.
It's true. It's like a wasteland, isn't it? It's like no man's land of like littered bodies scattered around in puddles of sick. It's pretty grim. Pretty grim.
Barbed wire everywhere.
It's horrible, but well done, Tom. You did the British people proud there. It's always British people in Japan. I remember I was at a hub once in Shinjuku, and there was a guy, just a British guy, getting drunk and just jumping up and down on a chair, and all the Japanese staff are like, let's just let him do that because we don't know what to do, and they just carried on jumping up and down.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
Yeah,
hub, innit? Typical hub. Typical hug patrons.
Hub.
Yeah, it's Pete Donaldson territory, through and through. This year, so news of the week. Unfortunately, the old Sapporo Snow Festival's cancelled for the first time ever. It's been going for, I think, since 1950, and they've cancelled it this year because of COVID, sadly, which is very lucky that we were able to go in the first place back in February, when it was already 700,000 people short of the usual numbers. I think typically they have like 2.7 million, but when we went, there was only 2 million. Even though it felt ridiculously crowded, did it not? It was pretty
I can't
busy.
Imagine what it would be like if there were more people there. But like, I guess it was all kind of kicking off at around about the same time as the Sapporo Snow Festival. So we've kind of lost, an entire year, haven't we, I suppose, with stuff like that. So yeah, despite Japan's incredible figures, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's a really expensive sort of money sink, and maybe it's just a bad idea to organise anything festival-wise at the moment.
Yeah. Well, it typically generates like $600 million of revenue, so it's a big deal. But more than that, it's like a symbol. It's like the symbol of Sapporo, isn't it? But I think
what are they going to do instead of what are they going to do? What are the ice sculpture people going to sculpt from instead? Are they going to use mud in the summertime? Sand? Are they going to be at the seaside doing all the sand sculptures? The sand dogs? Sand dogs.
Put them to good use. I mean, the Sapporo Snow Festival, the sculptures are typically carved by members of the old, the Japanese military, the self-defense force, right? So I guess it's just going to be business as usual for them, sitting in a barracks. I think the Sapporo Snow Festival is probably like the fun bit of being in the self-defense force in Japan. Gets to go and carve out a castle or a massive building from Poland. I think they had like a Polish embassy or something they did when we were there, right? Do you remember the big Polish-looking...
Yes,
building.
I do remember the big building, yeah. Crazy.
That was glorious. But no, scale terrible shame.
It's just like, what about that little train that went through the basketball player's mouth? It was a basketball player who, was it basketball or baseball? Maybe baseball, basketball. But he was this big guy with a big afro. Mm. And it was a massive head. And the train, this little tiny train that this man rode around on, sort of did a little lap through the basketball player's mouth. And I think he was like, a ramen, he was a basketball player who I think sponsored ramen, or rather the ramen sponsored him. And I think that's why he was involved. I think it was a Nissin tie up. But where's that little train going to go? That guy's just going to be in his garden with his little track going around, around his house.
I remember that was really cool, that sculpture. It's in the video if you want to check it out, folks. But there's a little brief shot of the train going through this massive ice sculpture head. But from what I remember, like, I really wanted to ride on it. I was like, yes, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Mm. But they weren't allowing people to come on because of COVID, I think. So the guy who like carved it, was running the sculpture or the kind of exhibit, just rode it around in circles by himself over and over. It's pretty great.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Just doing that, going around in circles all day through an ice sculpture head on a little train, like Wallace and Gromit. It's great, that. Oh man, that feels like a year, a bloody 100 years ago now, the old Sapporo Snow Festival. But as I sit by my window of my Sendai apartment, it is snowing outside, and I still haven't changed to my snow tires, so I've now got to pay the price to drive to the garage to get my snow tires on. For me, I'm probably going to skid over and just crash now because I left it too late. What a dickhead. God's sake. Why am I so stupid? Why didn't I do it last month or any point in the year?
I'm confused. Have you not got like a wrench and a jack? Could you not just put your own snow tires on?
Do I look like somebody who owns a wrench and a jack, Pete? Do I look
you
like somebody who's ever
you
done
drive,
anything
you
good?
You operate a motor vehicle. Outrageous.
I don't... If one of my wheels comes off, I'm stuffed. I don't think I have any equipment in my car to remedy the situation.
I've changed the wheel a few times and I can't even drive. That's how bad that is, Chris.
That is pretty bad. It's pretty grim. But if something happens to my car, that's why. Damn snow.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson, in the fax machine?
Oh, we kick off with a message from Matthias from Belgium. Hello, Matthias. Hello there, Chris and Pete. I'm a teacher from Belgium and a huge fan of your work. Because of your British accent and your and the educational part, your videos are ideal to test my pupils' their listening skills. Or so I thought. For the listening exam, I made them watch your pachinko video with a bunch of questions. See attachment if you want. But the reactions were a little bit mixed. here's some of the reactions from the students. I would never want to play that machine. It looks dangerously addictive. I love all the lights. I can't hear. Ooh, hello. I can't hear a thing that Fat Man says because of all of the balls. Sorry, Chris. Fat Man. Outrageous. What? His accent is way too difficult to understand. See, look, nice to see Chris is getting a few pellets for his little accent. I have no idea what I just watched. That Japanese guy was weird, but in a funny way. And also, my personal favourite of all our reactions, I left class with ADHD because of this video. Well, you know what they say about children, tell them the truth. Matthias is going to be heading back to Tokyo, going to be heading back, hopefully, to Japan soon. And it helped a lot. Your videos helped a lot to plan a two-week holiday last year. It was wonderful, and I definitely want to go back, says Matthias. So thank you for that, Matthias. That's a great email. And sorry, Chris, for calling you a big fatty, fatty boom boom.
Cheeky devil. I'm going to come over to Belgium and sort out these kids and shout at them for calling me fat. Although I did like the summary of Natsuki. That Japanese guy was weird, but in a funny way. I'll take that. Natsuki, it's a good summary for Natsuki there. I'm glad, though, of all the videos, you could have shown the children to teach them English, Matthias. You showed them the one that involves gambling, pachinko. Could have showed them something else of more cultural value, but... I'll take that. I like that. I get a lot of messages from people that like have to study abroad in Japan in Japanese class at like university or school. And I just think that's weird. Like imagine being sat down and having to like watch abroad in Japan in an academic sort of context. Is that a good idea, Pete? Good?
I think listening comprehension, you are quite clear with how you speak. You don't mumble. Your accent isn't that strong. And it's a pretty, I would argue it's a pretty good way of learning English. I would argue.
I would say, Matthias, you should listen to Pete Donaldson speak and test your students. If they can hear Pete speak English, then they're pretty set up for life because it ain't all that easy sometimes. He's got a lovely voice, though.
True.
Lovely voice. Lovely Cheers, voice, mate. Indeed. We've got one from, well, how do you pronounce this name, do you think, Pete? It's spelt J-E-R-N-E-J. Jernik? Jernik? Jernik?
Jernik? Jernik, maybe? Oh, I'm not sure.
I'll go with Jernik, but let us know. Hello, Chris and Pete. Lately, I've been listening to some old podcasts, not going into the office much since everyone is working from home. And I've heard you promised in an episode last year, our Japanese work party is actually fun, that you will have an end of year party next year, meaning in 2020. Have you forgotten about this, or did you decide not to have a party this year because of coronavirus? Best regards, Yernick. And what I'll say to that, Yernick, is we're doing the next best thing. No work party this year, but we are having a KFC Christmas meal. Myself, Natsuki, and Joey the Anime Man. That's going to be almost as good as an end of year work party. And it's a shame Pete Donaldson can't be there. It's a shame.
Lovely.
I'd love to give you. Well, love to give you some, you know, KFC Christmas.
Did you see that? Did you see two things? I've been sent quite a lot of stuff. I'm not sure whether it's because we talk about KFC quite a lot on Abroad Japan, or the fact that I am starting to resemble a KFC man, the KFC Colonel. They've done like a Lifetime kind of movie. I think it's a Lifetime movie about like a romantic drama, a romantic drama about the KFC Colonel, featuring the KFC Colonel, and they've put it out like a romantic kind of like telenovela about this new chef who moves into a really posh house. It's a little bit kind of Downton Abbey, but you know, I think in LA or something. And it's A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell. I'm sure you probably don't remember, but he plays the sexy rendition of the Colonel, the KFC Colonel. It's so weird.
Oh, good God. Are you going to watch the show? Have you been watching it?
Or is it just look good. Like, the trailer looks really good. The trailer looks really beautifully put together. So, yeah, it's a nice little treat for Christmas, a KFC Christmas sexy treat.
Sexy treat. I feel the Colonel is easily the coolest figure in the world of fast food, but I still don't know a great deal about him. I know he's a colonel from Kentucky, and he made some spices, and he had a hard time selling it. And then he eventually, around, I think around like his 60s or 70s, it all started to take off in his later years. But like, I'd love to watch something about
it. I just always think, like, old white men from the South, I just wouldn't want to sort of peel back those pages, to be honest. I'm just saying. What was I going to say? Also, in Japan, here's a bit of Japan fast food news. Do you see that? I think McDonald's started using a new coating on their little on the wax that coats the fries packaging. And it's sort of giving off like a weird sort of perfumey taste that makes the fries taste a little bit different. So people have been complaining, haven't they?
Yeah, somebody said that the fries at McDonald's taste like cosmetics now because of the cardboard. Mm. The fact that the wax and the cardboard has like scented the fries in that way is pretty off-putting and pretty controversial.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
And it's the one week of the year where I haven't had McDonald's at all because I've been in Kyoto, and Kyoto is a Burger King. One of about four Burger Kings in Japan, and Sharla and some of the folks from Tokyo Creative were in Kyoto at the time, and Sharla wanted to make a video on this plant-based burger, this Burger King like plant-based burger made of tofu. And I have to say, as somebody who is pretty vocal about not really being turned on by vegan alternatives, it was a good burger, and I gave it an 8 out of 10, which is astonishing for a non kind of meat. Like a non-beef burger from KFC, from Burger King. It was really good, but I don't think we've got that in the UK yet, right?
I think I did have. Did I have a veggie? Yeah, I had a veggie Whopper. I had a plant-based Whopper. It was really, really good. In fact, I think the flame-grilled kind of aspect to the Whopper really lends itself well. It gives it an extra dimension. So well done, Burger King, cracking stuff.
They drenched it in so much kind of mayonnaise and ketchup that it just disguised the fact that it wasn't like a real beef burger. But it's still kind of juicy. It's always the juiciness they mess up, isn't it? But they've done it. Yeah. Well done, Burger King.
Yeah, definitely.
No cosmetic fries there. They were good.
No, thank you. People always slag off Burger King fries, but I think they're the best fries. I really do. I don't know what they fry them in, but they just taste a little better than everyone else. You got a message from Noriko. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm Noriko from Japan, and I'm based in Istanbul now. When you talk about Japan, I see myself talking about Turkey. I've got a question for you, Chris. Do you encounter people with stereotypical images toward Britain, and do they want you to fit into their stereotype? I often face situations that people want me to be a Japanese person, that they already have a certain personality and behaviour based on their knowledge from Hollywood films and twisted images of Japan that are created from the local media. How do you react to that kind of situation? Enjoy the podcast as well as the YouTube videos. Chris and Pete, you are the saviours of my madness life in Istanbul. Matinee, hugs, Noriko. A cracking email from Noriko there. Do you feel like you have to fit into like a stereotypical image of being British, Chris, when you're out there?
Not really. Like, I don't really know what British people stand for in Japan. I think Harry Potter did wonders for the British economy when it comes to like how Japanese people perceive the UK, because they all seem to think it's like that. But like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. What I will say is, I find the Japanese view on the UK is often is not that great. They're very positive about the UK, but they don't know that much about the UK. But then again, I think if you ask most British people on the streets about Japan, they don't know that much about Japan either, right? Like, oh, it's sushi and ninjas, isn't it? Ninjas and samurai, yeah? Like, it's more than that. There's a bit more going on than that. But the stereotype towards British people, I guess it's well known that we're quite sarcastic and cynical. Like, I remember whenever I was like sarcastic in front of my dick, whenever I was just being sick all over a train, innit, in Kyoto. That's what the British people do. They come to Japan and they're sick all over a train. I think we're well known for being cynical. Like, whenever I used to be sarcastic at work, my colleagues would be like, oh yeah, British humor down there, like, you know, oh, British humor. So I think there's that. But I think more Japanese people should go and visit the UK. Like, we have the sort of same problem. Like, ask pretty much any British person and they do want to go to Japan, right? But then they don't, because it feels so far away and it's expensive and it's not really a holiday. It's more of a cultural experience. And I think Japanese folks feel the same towards the UK. But I'd love to try and find ways of actually sending more people here and sending more Japanese back to the UK. Foster relationships. What about you, Pete, in your travels around Japan?
To be honest, whenever I travel, I sort of try and fit into the most cynical and stereotypical version of British people possible. I'm like just constantly like, especially in America and stuff, just putting on the strongest accent ever. Because to be quite frank, my accent, it's actually quite difficult to understand anyway. So I think I've said it before. I slip into this kind of like southern, easier to hear, easier to understand, easier to pass, accent. Because you just don't get anything done. I do this in London, to be honest. It's hard to, or anybody from like Eastern Europe can't really pass my accent. They find it quite difficult if they're not across a lot of different accents, because you don't hear northeastern accents anywhere that often in London. So I do find myself having to repeat myself quite a lot, which is obviously absolutely fine. That's why you come to London, because you meet people you wouldn't normally meet, and it's just like, yeah, I bloody love London. It's brilliant.
That's good to hear, because I find London gets a bad rep. A lot of people don't like it.
Does
I'm like it in small doses. I don't think I could live there, though. Tokyo gets my vote if I had to live in a city. If I had to live in Tokyo or London, I think I'd probably go for Tokyo. But London's better for a two-week trip. Don't know. Debatable, isn't it? Let's face it. But failing that, I still haven't been to Hartlepool, though. Next time I'm over, you'll have to take me on a whirlwind tour of your hometown.
No, exactly.
show us what it's really like. Oh, good God. I'm sure it's not that bad. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days on Sunday, guys. But for now, enjoy the rest of the week. Check out the absurdly depressing but undeniably underwhelming $25,000 apartment, the most expensive apartment in Tokyo, some would say, on Abroad in Japan. But for now, enjoy the next few days and we'll see you on Sunday. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.